As we come to Matthew 11 and verses 28 to 30. Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. And as we've seen at the end of this chapter, Jesus, first of all, addresses God in verses 25 to 27. But then Jesus switches and gives an invitation to you. He gives an invitation to each one of us, anyone who would come to him, anyone who was laboring and heavy laden. He gives an invitation. It's the greatest invitation. It's based upon the greatest relationship that we saw last week, the relationship that Jesus, the Son of God, God the Son, has with the Father, into which you are invited. And you are invited to come by faith. After everything that we've seen in this chapter, how would you have expected it to end? The last verses of the chapter. And when we've seen how John the Baptist was so aware that judgment was on the horizon, that he began to ask questions of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ announces that the time of the new creation has come. But then Jesus himself pronounces that there are cities that have not repented. They haven't turned aside. They haven't paid attention to the mighty works that he has done in showing the new creation. How would you have expected this chapter to end? It ends in a marvelous way. It ends in an amazing way as Jesus gives an invitation. It comes in verse 28 as Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Jesus says, come. Come to me. It's an invitation to faith. It's like we hear when we consider Isaiah 55 and verse 3, where the word of God says, "Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live." First of all, we need to hear what Jesus is saying in order to come. We need to respond to him by listening to what he says. It is Jesus speaking, and he uses wisdom words in these verses, which we'll see in a minute, but even this is a call of wisdom. It's in Proverbs chapter 9, verses 5 and 6, as wisdom says, "Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding." Jesus is saying that we are to come. Jesus is inviting us to come, much in the way that Isaiah 55 says it, much in the way that Proverbs says it. In fact, Jesus puts it this way later on in the Gospel of Matthew. He says in Matthew 22, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage." And that's an invitation. Come. You have been invited by the one who is able to say things in his invitation that no one else can say. Look at the very next two words. Come unto me. Jesus doesn't tell you, show up at this time in this place and you'll get a code and something else will be given to you, and you're kind of like on a one of those game shows where, you know, you get a little bit of information and then later on you'll get more. No, Jesus says, come to me. I am the one that is able to provide. And I am the one who is inviting you. It's a personal invitation. It's an invitation into a relationship. A relationship that we already saw last week is a private, mutual relationship between the Father and the Son from eternity past, into which Jesus Christ invites you as he reveals the Father to you, as he reveals the Father in heaven, God the Father, to you. That's what Jesus said in verse 27. "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. You see, this invitation to come unto Jesus Christ is an invitation to have the Father revealed to you. If we don't know the Father, it's because we haven't responded to the invitation. The invitation into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Why is that important? Well, because the people that Jesus is really calling to are people that labor and are heavy laden. People that he is calling that are impacted by burdens. Labor involves the burdens that we take upon ourselves, and heavy laden refers to the burdens that others place upon us. The burdens that others place upon us, it's revealed later on in Matthew's gospel as Jesus speaks of the Pharisees and the scribes in Matthew 23 and verse 4, and he says, they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Jesus is talking about the heavy burdens laid upon people's shoulders by those who said, you have to keep the law. The Pharisees. But Jesus is actually coming with rest. He's coming with the accomplishment that is required. That's what Jesus is saying. And that's why he's able to speak to those who labor and are heavy laden, because he's speaking to those who are working, trying to achieve, and he's also speaking to those who are being oppressed, who are being held down and pushed down by others. Jesus is saying that you are to come to him. All are able to come to him that labor and are heavy laden. And he says, I will give you rest. In the areas where you are laboring, he will give rest. In the areas where you are heavy laden, he is able to give rest. And that's an important thing to realize. We can be laden because of oppression from other people or simply from the miseries of life. Life can weigh us down. Jesus is going to speak of a yoke. And we already saw that yoke mentioned in Matthew 23, verse 4, as the Pharisees laid a weight on people's shoulders. A yoke, something that you put on your shoulders, designed to help you carry the weight. Or a yoke that you put between oxen so that those oxen might together plow. But it's placed upon the shoulders. If it's too heavy, it weighs you down. And some of you know what that's like, to be weighed down by the oppression of someone else, or to be laid down by the labor that you are engaging in. Jesus is saying that this is something that where he can give rest. Now, one of the things that is most important about this is that we need to realize that one of the things that causes us to be most heavy laden is guilt. One of the things that can cause us to be heavy laden is grief. One of the things that can cause us to be weighed down, heavy laden, is the insistent pushing of another person who's acting like one of the Pharisees, who's requiring us to jump through hoops, and we can't quite make it. Jesus is offering a different type of relationship. Jesus is offering a relationship that leads to salvation. This is the greatest relationship possible. It's a relationship with the living God. And Jesus is telling you that the way that we get there is through him. We need to come through him in order to have rest. What does Jesus mean when he's talking about rest? Well, obviously, there is a rest ahead for the people of God. We see that in the book of Hebrews in chapter 3, verse 7, all the way to chapter 4, verse 16. There is a rest ahead for the people of God. But Jesus means more than that. He means rest in the present. He He means rest that's given in the place of labor, in the place of being heavy laden. Jesus is talking about rest that he can give. It's an amazing thing when Jesus is talking in this way. Because the book of Jeremiah speaks in chapter 6 and verse 16 of the old paths. As the Lord says, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. It's a call to follow the path and you've been given in order to find rest. But Jesus doesn't say, ask for the path, get on the path, and you will find rest. He says, I give it. Did you know that Jesus is able to give rest to people that are laden down with guilt or grief or oppressed by someone else? Did you know that Jesus is able to give rest in those situations? Now, it's a response to Jesus Christ that he is speaking of, and he begins to speak even more of the response in verse 29. We're moving from receiving what Jesus is able to give with his revelation of the Father in verses 25 to 27 to an active response. Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He's talking about discipleship. He's talking in terms that in the day in which Jesus is speaking had to do with schools of teaching. As a rabbi would invite someone to take, to accept the yoke, receive the yoke of being joined to them following them as one who would teach them. But Jesus says something more than that. He says, take my yoke. That's not something that the Jewish people said. Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you, he says. What does he mean by that? Jesus is telling you that you are entering into a relationship with him in which he is going to begin to lead you. He is going to lead you on the path of discipleship. You receive the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will lay upon your shoulders that which yokes you to him, and you will follow him. And look at what he says. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Now Jesus breaks it down. He's talking about rest for our souls, and he's talking about rest for our souls that comes about by being joined to him in this relationship in which he shows us the path. In fact, he guides us on the path. He is the one who leads the way. We are called to follow him. We are called to accept this yoke, but we are called to actually allow it, take it upon ourselves, that we might learn from Jesus Christ. Look at how personal it is. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's all centered upon Jesus Christ. It's his yoke. It's his burden. Jesus is talking about a way that you can have fellowship with God through his keeping of the law, through his path of discipleship, through his death and resurrection, through his communion and fellowship with God, through his faithfulness, through his character. The Lord Jesus Christ is telling you that you can have a relationship with God where you follow him by being joined to Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus is talking about. Notice something. Jesus, when he says all of this, is approachable. That's quite important. You have someone who wants to teach you something. Some of you have had teachers in school that were like this. They knew a lot about the subject, but you had trouble approaching them. Or maybe you've had a family member that you knew you wanted to talk to, but you couldn't really approach them. You know what? Jesus is different than that. He is inviting you. He is offering to give you rest. And he has a character quality that makes him approachable. Listen to what he says. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Did you think that Jesus was going to be heavy-handed when he started talking about judgment? Did you think that he was going to be proud? Did you think that he was going to tell you exactly what you need to do and then turn around and put his hands together and wait until you do it? Jesus busts through all of those false ideas. Jesus tells you what he's like. He's telling you about his character. And this is amazing. The one who is able to give blind people their sight, in verse 5, cause the lame to walk, as we've seen in this gospel, the lepers healed, the deaf hearing, the dead raised up, and the poor having the gospel preached to them. The one who brings the kingdom is meek. He's gentle. He's approachable. You see, God has provided for us in Jesus Christ one who can lead us to himself. He has provided one who is able to invite and effectively provide what he promises. And one who is not one to push us away. That's important because you're being invited to come. You're being invited to come to one who is approachable and who can introduce you to the Father. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What a contrast to what we just saw. The people that are invited to come to him, people like you and like me, are laboring and heavy laden. And Jesus promises rest. But then he says, take my yoke upon you. And we think, okay, here it is. Now we're going to learn from the school of discipleship. This is the one who said, take up my cross. This is the one who said that we will be hated by people. This is the one who says all of these things. But what Jesus is talking about is a relationship that is based upon his character, his obedience, his work, the accomplishment of redemption gives you rest. The accomplishment of what Jesus came to do causes the pathway of following him to be completely unlike what the Pharisees are providing. The Pharisees are providing heavy burdens in chapter 23 and verse 4. They are weighing people down with them. They are telling them that they need to tithe. They are telling widows that they need to put money in the offering plate. Jesus says they're actually stealing from people that are widows to benefit themselves. And Jesus offers something completely different. A pathway of discipleship that is based upon the completion of what honors God, what is pleasing to God, by Jesus himself. Being joined to the one who is obedient. Now that doesn't mean that you and I don't follow. That the pathway is easy in that sense. Because we're yoked to Jesus Christ. Where did he go? He died on a cross. He was rejected. He was misunderstood. But the relationship that Jesus is offering you with God is not a burdensome relationship. Because it's based upon his character and his work. Jesus Christ is able to offer you an easy yoke and a light burden because he bears the burden in the relationship. You know people like this. You see someone at the pharmacy, and someone comes in, and they're all wound up. And they're going crazy about a little exchange. And the person behind the counter is patient. And they tell the other customers that they're going to need a minute. And they protect that person so that person can communicate with them. And they give them the benefit of the doubt. And they explain things to them. They break it down several times. After a while, the person begins to calm down and the transaction is completed. Who bore the weight? Who bore the burden in that situation? Who bore it patiently? Who was kind? Who was clear? The customer is all confused, disoriented, wound up. And the person behind the counter helps that person to the completion of their transaction. And that's what Jesus Christ does for every single believer. He will lead you on the road of discipleship. And when you need to be picked up, he will pick you up. When you need wisdom, he'll provide it. When you need knowledge that God is with you, he provides it. When you need knowledge that God loves you, Jesus provides it. When you need knowledge that he has the power to help you with your problems, Jesus provides it. When you have guilt and shame, and you don't think you'll ever be delivered from it, Jesus provides the means by which guilt and shame is taken away. Jesus provides patience for you. Which of us doesn't need someone to be patient with us? Jesus is patient. That's why his yoke is easy. That's why his burden is light. Because he's meek. Because in his righteous character, Jesus Christ is approachable. And he's patient to sit with you and to lead you along the path until you get there. That's what Jesus Christ is saying. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Learn from me. Because this is the way to find rest for your souls. This is the way to find the final rest. But it's the way to find rest along the way. Jesus Christ is leading you in a way that is rest-giving. And brothers and sisters, if there is one thing that demonstrates to you that you know the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's that when you begin to contemplate him, you are able to rest. Rest in the knowledge that he knows the future. Rest in the knowledge that my sins are forgiven, even though I can't forget them myself. Rest in the knowledge that I know someone who is patient with me when I am impatient with others or impatient with myself. Rest provided through Jesus Christ for our souls. That is a benefit of the gospel because it comes from Jesus Christ himself. You see, these benefits come from Jesus. They are given spiritually. You can't put it on a ledger sheet and say, well, so-and-so is given 25,000 grams of rest, and I was only given 17. No. It is personalized rest. Rest for your souls by the one who invites you. This is a personal invitation. But it's an invitation given from one who has all things delivered unto him of the Father, who has an intimate knowledge of the Father. And what you need most of all is someone who knows how to bring you into a relationship with the Father, with God the Father. That's what you need. We might think that we need to nail down this doctrine or that doctrine or understand this principle in order to find rest. But Jesus Christ tells us that it comes from Him. He gives it. A relationship with the Father in heaven. Approaching the one who has the character to lead you. And there's something else. Just as we close, you remember how in chapter 5, Jesus gave this Sermon on the Mount. And He unpacked what it looked like to be someone who has the benefits of the kingdom of heaven. One who is being changed by the work of a living God. Those who are poor in spirit, those that mourn, the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Isn't it amazing that the Lord Jesus Christ, who preached that sermon in chapter 5, now announces that He is the one who embodies those character qualities at the end of chapter 11. Jesus Christ gives what He has, and He gives it to you.